call a budget workshop meeting to order. Mr. Brunson has the floor.
All right, well, I appreciate everybody's patience as we did a last minute adjustment with our technology. They are upgrading the projectors and everything in this room, and it seems like we caught them mid-update. So thank you for your patience as we get everything ready. This is your revenue review. You might recall we've gone through two other budget workshops where we did the expenditure review. And I apologize for the setup, although it's less intimidating with y'all not looking at me for me to be able to do this, to have y'all facing away.
You have Ryan's at right beside you.
Well, I elbow it.
He can give me the side eye.
Y'all take me, I'll elbow it.
So, we'll, and we have Norm today with us instead of Andrea, so that's always an, I don't know if that's an upgrade or not.
It's not an upgrade.
It's not an upgrade. All right, so I'll go ahead and get started with the review. Just a reminder that we've gone through the expenditures so far. Today we'll look at how the revenues have been stacking up over the last 5 to 6 years. A reminder that you're meeting next week at 4 o'clock. And Rebecca, is that here or at the...
That's at the depot.
It's at the depot. Yeah, I'm sorry. We have had confusion about here and the depot. Next week we'll be at the depot at 4 o'clock, and that's where we will give you the full budget for next year. At that workshop, you'll have a chance to ask whatever questions you have, and then we will set it up for May 9th for the public hearing and first reading, followed by second reading on June 13th. So. And please remember, Council, this is your budget. So whatever you see that you don't like, you let us know, and we will make any adjustments that you see. So the way we handled this last year was we looked at a couple of just general information, state of the economy slides, and how it affects us. And I think this, the smaller box to your right, or on the right, I'm sorry, on the left, my other right of the screen shows last year, and you can see how energy costs were rising very intensely a year ago. And if you come to the most recent numbers from March, you see that energy prices are actually negative decline for now, although the next slide I'll show you as a whole, we've seen quite a bit of inflation. And that's going to be reflected in the budget that we bring to you all next week. So some of this is just kind of orienting you to things I expect you already know. I just put these slides in to help break it down a little bit. And this slide here gives you the month-by-month count of what's happened with the Consumer Price Index. And I think you all know, we feel this pressure operationally within the departmental budgets. Although I give the department heads a lot of credit that they have done very resourceful management of their operating budgets last year and this year and heading into next year. So starting with the general fund, you see that general fund's been relatively flat now since 2018. Which I'd suggest is not a bad thing. You let me know if you have questions. So when you look at what comprises the general fund, you have taxes, fees, and permits is the biggest portion of it. You can see how there's a little bit of decline in 2023. Most of that is because we built you a conservative budget, and through 2022 are actual numbers, and 23 is still the budgeted amount. So we don't have an actual there. We're probably, as I've looked at our revenue expenditure reports, we're probably set to finish about where we finished in 2022. So even though you see a little bit of a drop off there, it's pretty even. So on this one, what we're looking at is license fees and permits. For the majority of this, this is our business license revenue. Something to remind you of, when the county built the new magistrate facility down on Bibb Street, we had a small uptick in our business license revenue because of the contractors that worked there. So anytime something like that is going on in town, you'll see a little bit of an uptick for us in one fiscal year over another, because most of the businesses that are here year in and year out, there's not a lot of adjustment, or there's not a lot of increase in their business license. Property taxes, again, you can see we finished 2022 strong. What you see in 2023 is the budgeted amount we have in there. I expect we're gonna finish as strong in 2023, property tax-wise, as we did in 2022. And I have some slides in here a little bit later on to talk about the millage. We have still constructed a budget for you that shows us being able to reduce our millage. Now, whether that's by 3 mills or 5 mills will depend on what the assessor gives us as her final numbers, or the auditor, sorry. But the calculation I have right now has us at least a 3 mill reduction for next year, which will be good on property and business taxes. Oh, so here it is. I thought it was a bit harder. Yeah. So when you look at this slide, if you start a little more toward the left of the page, looking at the fiscal year 2020, which was tax year 2019, remember, we always pay our property taxes a year in arrears. So you pay it the year after you've lived it. Then you pay it between 2020 and 2021. We had a very moderate, slight increase of 1.5%. Well, between 21 and 22, we saw an increase of 5%. I expect we're going to see at least 5% again, particularly with the reassessment year. The number that we will be shooting for, or that I'm shooting for in the budget we're going to present you next week, and we'll go back to slide here, is that $682-$685 amount in property taxes. Now, if we were to have a 5% increase in just the assessed value at least, and I think we may have more, then a 5% increase would allow us to reduce our millage by 3.5 mills. So we would go from 99.3 down to 95 point, whatever the change is. I'm sorry, I can't do math that quick. So I think that is speaks well for what we've done to manage our budgets. And I think it will also help all the property tax, or the property owners that are paying property taxes. And remember, it also applies not just to structures, but also to your car taxes as well. Any questions on that? Are you okay with us heading in that direction? We talked about that, I want to make sure.
It's a longer one.
I couldn't tell if you were giving me the question eye or the stink eye.
I'm giving you, this is out of my wheelhouse.
Okay.
It does, I trust the people that nodded their heads.
Okay. And we could talk about it, whatever detail that you need.
Yeah, if you really got a question, if you got a question, go ahead.
I don't understand, like, a mill. I don't understand the entire thing. And Joe, that's why I mean it's a longer one.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be happy to help you. Okay. We have some, there's a lot of numbers here, but it's a relatively straightforward calculation that I can show.
Okay.
I just try and impress everybody else here by putting a lot of numbers in.
Okay.
Well, this spreadsheet comes directly from the county auditor. So that's why I put it in.
But going down
in
millage.
Yeah, going down in millage means you would pay less on your car taxes and you would pay less on your home taxes.
I like that. Okay. I'm good with it.
Fire department funding. We talked about this last year. The county's in for $285,000 a year since 2012. That number has been static. If you see that first little bullet point we have right there, I use the an inflation calculator that used those inflationary statistics that you saw on the previous slides to see what is $285,000 worth in 2023 dollars from 2012, and you can see that it's worth about another $90,000. So you all know that, and we have an executive session to get into a little bit more detail, that I'm in discussions with the county about how we look at fire service funding going forward, and this is certainly part of that conversation. And again, 2018 through 2022, those are all actual audited numbers, and 2023 is budget. Looking at police department, this is revenue. The revenue line in there on fines and forfeitures, I think in 2022, has got some, typically what you're gonna see in there in fines is gonna be from tickets that we write, speeding tickets, any fines we might get out of court. It's a little higher in 2022 because we had some money that came in from other agencies hiring young officers that had been under the 2 year, been less than 2 years out of the Criminal Justice Academy. So when another agency hires someone that is still 2 years out of the Criminal Justice Academy, they have to reimburse us our costs for training that officer. So we had two of those, one last year and one this year. So some of those numbers are a little bit inflated. Yeah, so typically that $11,334, I believe, was a grant that Matt wrote. I can't remember what you got with that grant last year. He's already exceeded that $7,000 in 2023 when he got the laptops this year. It's an imperfect calculation when we do the budget because we never know what agencies may offer in the way of grants when we put it together. I hate to say it's a plug number. We put a number in there because we believe there'll be something, but we don't know. But that 11,000 correlates directly to a grant that Chief Patterson got. Youth Rec. You know, one of the wonderful things about your recreation department and our recreation director is that what Herb brings in revenue is what he spends in expenditures. They match pretty well. He keeps an eye toward what's coming in revenue before he spends anything. And if you go back and you're looking at the historical trend in this, the dip in 2020 and 2021 was because of COVID. So 2022, we got back more toward normal. And if any of you haven't spoken with Herb lately, just speak to them about spring athletics, and we are booked and packed about as far as you can go, even to the point where Adam and I were talking earlier. We have some local coaches looking for pastures to be able to practice ball in, just because that time period when people can practice most, and I give the coaches credit, they're trying to get their players practicing. Here's the Youth Rec is what makes up the money that comes in there. Until this year, we've been receiving $30,000 from Oconee County. They have now upped that amount to $50,000, which is good. We certainly could use much more. I think we've talked as a group before that 85% of our rec department participants are outside the city limits. So the net effect, if you look in at where you see transfer from the general fund and transfer from the H-tax, the city of Westminster is using its general tax dollars and its hospitality tax to augment the cost of those out-of-city participants. As you all know, we don't charge but a percentage of what it actually costs to run any athlete through the program. We offset that. it's difficult to tell you that of that 50% that we're bringing in from general fund and hospitality tax, how much of that could be reduced if we actually received funding from the county that met the needs of county residents. PARD grant, we did get a PARD grant last year, although Herb and I were talking about this yesterday. They've changed the rules on the PARD grants. We think that we'll be able to go after more money this year. So hopefully, when you look at this next year, you will see that we've gotten the PARD grant. Hospitality tax. You look at this, that trend line through 2022 is pretty steady. The increase from 22 to 23 is that we used fund balance of money that built up during the COVID years to be able to go back and do a lot of the improvements that we have out there at Simpson Road right now. So there was a bulk of that $300 that was budgeted in 2022. We didn't get it spent, so it moved up to 2023. So most of that will have been spent by the time we get to the end of this fiscal year. If you're looking at what our annual tax collections are, hospitality tax collections are, they've bumped up a little bit to where we're averaging close to $200,000 a year in annual revenue just from the collection of the tax. And there may be some in the 2023 numbers that doesn't get spent that you'll see carried forward in the next budget. I think it's from inflation. I didn't include it in here, but I wish I had. If you look at, there's a seasonality to our hospitality tax numbers. Definitely during Bigfoot and Apple Festival, you can see a small spike in September and October on those hospitality tax receipts that I'm at least equating to the fact that we've got two big festivals in town. There's also a little bit of a spike in the fall, and I guess that's people that are heading into the mountains because of the fall leaves and stuff like that. But I think what we've seen in talking to the few people that I've talked to that are restaurant owners, they've increased their prices. So increasing those prices, we get 2% off whatever they charge. So I don't know that there's any volume there. I think it's mostly inflation.
Can I ask a quasi-related question? So you just said we get 2% off of what they charge. Is that the cost of the food? The reason I ask is, for example, El Charro just started charging processing fee for credit debit card processing. You pay for processing, you pay a little bit more. Is that included in that bottom line dollar?
No. The fee that we collect, they should only be charging you the price of the food, not the price of their...
I'm sure they are. That's the question.
Yeah, it should only... Now, it's up to them, and we don't go in there. We haven't heretofore gone in and audited anyone. It should be only off the price of prepared food and beverage. Local accommodations, that looks like a mountain range with a deep valley. Again, some of that is COVID related. We had that steep drop off because of COVID there. Most of that's coming from the Relax Inn and then a few of the, I want to call them Airbnbs, but Magnolia's not necessarily. I guess it is a B&B. Solid waste fund. Again, what you're seeing in 23 is a result of my conservative budgeting. I think when we close this year out, you're going to see that there was an uptick in those revenue numbers. You all increased the fees last year, and that really solidified and made the solid waste fund stand alone and self-supporting. Actually, a little more so than I had anticipated. Also, a lot of that we've seen in the last little more than a year because we were talking about it, I remember this time last year, that because most of the homes are occupied in Westminster, that means most folks are now receiving garbage collection, so our numbers have gone up. Whereas before COVID, there were more vacancies in residential units, whether they're owner-occupied or rental, and the numbers were a little bit less. So this is a great example of how we have made this self-supporting. So kudos to you for doing it. Here's the cost to serve analysis that, so cost to serve, whenever I say that, that just means it's self-supporting. Whatever it costs, you're collecting in revenue, and those two numbers offset. If you look at 2021, you can see that we had an excess of revenue over expenditures, and then you can see that repeated itself again in 2022. And that is because the revenue exceeded what we thought we were going to receive, and the utilities director, who was then just the sanitation supervisor, has kept his cost low. We'll see an uptick of that in 2024 when we begin debt service on the garbage truck that we just received. When you look at the 2023 column and you come down under expenses, you see that $310,000 number. That's where we bought a new garbage truck mid-year. You remember, we came to you, we had a kind of a special situation where we had a chance to buy one that had been at demo, and we did. It was on the road today. There we go. There we go. So
it was bright and shiny.
Yeah, wear your sunglasses when it comes to that. Any questions on solid waste? All right, getting into utilities. You know, this slide was a lot more pertinent when we were collecting AMI fees. Now that we aren't, it's kind of incidental. You all recall that we discontinued collecting the AMI fees, and so still you get to see what the revenue streams are there. The bulk of what you're seeing in that line item, miscellaneous and other, that is actually your franchise fee from the utilities. It comes in through utility administration. Water, again, water has done pretty well the last year and a half.
Are you using more of it?
We're selling more. Which is good. I mean, because sometimes we use it and we don't sell it, sometimes we sell it, and it's much better to sell it. When I say that, Audrey, when we were, during the freeze, we used a lot of water because there were a lot of leaks.
Right.
We didn't sell all that. We used it. So it's much better when we sell it. Okay. Are you getting my...
So are customers using more, or...
I think they are. I mean, we're seeing the increase in the revenue. Now, I have a slide in here when we increase the rates, which was the 2022 budget when it was enacted, and when we took the AMI fees off. But I think we're also selling more gallons.
And that's a certain
amount of
customers.
Yes. We're selling new customers.
This is also having more people.
Yes. So the easy example I always use is Mr. Harold Knight's three homes that went out there. The mayor's built some new homes that are in our water service territory. We've got those two neighborhoods that are under construction right now. When they come on, I think we're going to see quite a bit more water sales. It's a healthy time for new residential units, and with each new residential unit, there comes the services with garbage collection, selling water at a minimum, maybe electricity, and maybe sewage.
And the guys have been finding leaks here. Just anytime they find one, they've been making repairs, so that's helped some too, I'm sure.
Sewer, hate to keep saying this, but it's kind of the true component to this when I was putting all this together for you. 2023, what you're seeing is a result of conservative budgeting. So you see that number coming down because we were conservative in what we were projecting we would collect. You all may recall that a few months ago, or earlier this year, God, it seems like it was January, it was 6 months ago, but it wasn't quite that long ago. OJRSA board, of which the mayor and I are on, has now redone its billing that will save us money. So next year, that collection number is going to go down, or the collection number is going to go probably sideways, it'll be the same, but what we owe to OJRSA is going to go down. July 1st.
This year.
So the customers may still see that through the August bills, because you know we're about, is it almost 2 months behind from when you use it to when we finally collect it? So it could be August bills before you actually see that. And I think I must have got kind of in my head here. I split it out two different ways to give you the same number.
Good job.
This is what happens when your administrator geeks out on numbers.
I don't think around
the looking at electric revenue, so this is something that we have to keep our eye on with PMPA, which you know we've talked a lot about lately. We've done good. Again, this breaks down to, are we selling what we're bringing in? Because we've had a lot of electric loss that has been either eliminated or reduced significantly over the last 3 to 4 years. That's good. We are still limited by our footprint. So we only have a certain area that we serve, and I don't expect that that's going to grow. You can see the customer count, it stays about the same. It goes up a little bit, it comes down a little bit month to month. I don't know that we'll meet that green number down there for budget this year based off what I was seeing earlier or reviewing the revenue report. But I certainly think we'll be higher than we were last year. I think we have a good electric rate structure in there right now, and as long as the PMPA board doesn't raise the rates, then we shouldn't have to raise ours. If the PMPA board raises the rates there, we may very well have to raise ours. Well, the mayor and I tell you that sometimes we're on the winning side of those votes and sometimes we're on the losing side. Unfortunately, the side that's most likely to raise the rates, we are not in that voting block. So. But we'll raise all the dickens we can raise to try and keep them from doing it. Provider expenses, I always try and find a better way of explaining this rather than quite so literally. This is just, what is the net difference between what we bring in revenue versus what we pay for what we sell? So if you look at electric, you see the revenue number that we bring in, and then the PE number, that's what we pay to PMPA. So the difference from that is what we have that is available for our operating budgets. So when you look at 2023 budget, the difference between the revenue, the difference from the provider expenses, which is PMPA, that net difference is then what we have available for Taylor and his crews to do what they need to do, for us to tap into that for a franchise fee, and then to cover any of the other services that may not be, that may have a deficit. So if you look up at 2022, you see that the admin had a deficit. That's where we got rid of AMI. So it ran a deficit, so electric, water, and sewer had to pull up that difference. Typically, sewer is our loser. So even though if you look at 23, you see our revenue is 782, you see that we are anticipating our OJRSA bill being around 700,000, which means we only have 80,000 left operating. Well, that sewer budget is a little over a million. So that $300,000 difference comes from what we make out of water and electric. That's why we operate these three together as a combined utility. And you'll find that's pretty prevalent around, I'd say the Southeast at least, but most of our PMPA counterparts all run combined utilities in more or less the same. So I just wanted to remind you when we last raised rates on each one of these. Again, the budget that we are assembling for you for next week does not have an increase in any of the fees pertaining to these. Now, we have some increases that we'll recommend, like depot rental fees and park fees. So what I'm going to call kind of the light lift fees that we have, we will kind of give you a schedule of what we would recommend, but in terms of our actual service fees, we're not anticipating any increase. Again, electric's always the one. If that board increases the rates, then we'll have to look at it. So last year we pulled a lot of towns together, and we have some more comparative data for you just to see where we stack up with our peers in Laconia County. And last year we pulled these numbers that showed cities around Oconee County, Pickens County, and Anderson County, give or take our size. And on the left side you see where sewer is ranked low to high. You really could discount the top two, Pioneer and Saban, because they don't have sewer. But you can see we are still in, we're toward the bottom of that, which means we're nearly the most expensive. If you look over at water, and just so you know, I didn't track where everyone was last year and where they are now, but there was a lot of shuffling in that list last year. Same thing happened on water, and where you see us as fifth in water cost, last year we were sixth, and Wahala was actually first. So you see, and I don't mean to pick on our Valley of the Gods friends up there, but they dropped because they had to increase their fees. And that was, I think, from what I read in the Seneca newspaper, which I'm sure got it right, it was because they have had increases in their cost. So there was shuffling on both sides. For us, we actually fared better because we kept our water rates consistent last year. So we dropped a point on sewer, we stayed where we were. Questions? And for what it's worth, I think with us not increasing our rates this year, I'm fairly certain we could make up ground on the water. I don't know about the sewer. I think we'll rank even higher next year on the water. So electric rates, there's always a lot of discussion about electric rates. We had some folks in today, a business pulling some historic data trying to figure out why their bill is so high. Sometimes it's because of their consumption. Sometimes it's perception, and sometimes it's reality. This is how we stack up with everybody else. I'm slightly skeptical that we have the most current Duke information, but we have the most current information that we can obtain. They've had increases, and if you look at that parenthetical footnote right below the chart where it says the price per kilowatt or per 1,000 kilowatts is 0.12, that was 0.07 last year. So there's a there's a lot of very subtle ways that they are getting more money out of their customers. And we, again, aren't entirely, or I'm not entirely satisfied that we have the most up-to-date Blue Ridge numbers, but that's what we've got. We've got what it's like. We still are not very competitive on electric. So just focusing on what we have between the Oconee cities, here's how we rate cost of water, sewer, electric, solid waste for inside city customers. And all three cities charge different fees inside versus outside. And in the next slide, you'll see the outside ones. For instance, I read in the newspaper that Wahala is looking to increase their solid waste rates. So where we look a lot less competitive to them right now, depending on where they end up, we may be a lot more competitive. That's the inside rates, and here are the outside. And then this slide is where we just mash it all together and see if you can make sense of it for fun. Generally speaking, the blue lines are water lines, the green lines are sewer lines, and the pink or the red, I don't even know what to call that, are the solid waste lines. We put them all together for the cities and then give you a sense of how many customers we're serving. So, you know, there's a certain amount of overhead you have just for having a service. And the more customers you have, Seneca's a great example. Look at their number of water customers. They have a lot more customers to spread out the cost of their operations than we do. So typically, you're going to see their rates be lower. I think your staff does a great job at keeping these expenses down, and you as a council have done a great job at letting us apply for the state and federal grants where we leverage state and federal money so we aren't using local customer money to make a lot of the improvements. We also put TESI in there. TESI numbers are still from 2022. TESI's no longer TESI. It's now a new name. Can't remember the name of the new name. We don't know if the rates have gone up for them or not. And then Pioneer and Blue Ridge. And if you're wondering, Kylie Carter is your budget management analyst. She does a great job of pulling all the numbers you just saw together. I get to put the color coding on it, but she actually does the calculations.
We did a good job with that one. That helps a lot. Putting the number of customers really makes it easier to understand.
So, there we are. Questions? Discussions? I've given you an idea of what we've been putting together for a budget for you. You're going to see an overall increase in your total budget next year, but most of that is still because of the ARP money that we haven't spent. So we've been collecting it, we've brought it in. Oconee County gave us an allocation, we've spent about half of that. So you're going to see that money continue to be there simply because we haven't gotten to all those projects, or the matches haven't been required yet on the projects where we did assign it.
Who got a question? Now is the time.
So the Cooper's Mill, the one that's under construction right now, that one is 175. We're servicing all of those with water, sewer, and solid waste.
Does that mean anything more than
yeah, it will make all that go up. So we'll have an offset. I think a couple of years in, it will. Right away, there's not going to be. I mean, we've got the lines in the ground that run to that neighborhood now. None of those lines are part of our USDA program where we're about to do a lot of improvements because the lines were in need of repair. Those lines going that way are generally pretty good. So I don't expect we're going to have more cost. Now, it depends once folks get in there and they start turning on those water taps and flushing the toilets, what that does is it draws the water that way. Terry and his crews may get more service calls headed that way than they do right now. So that can see our, make our cost go up. But I think we're going to benefit for a few years just in being able to pull down on the water and the sewer just in that way. We start servicing them with garbage. Of course, we have an increase in cost of driving a truck up there. It may even require us to add a half-day route just to pick up that neighborhood.
Claremont Road, Claremont, Mountain Road, that corner.
And they were working again today, putting in the water and the sewer line. So we know that developer's ready to go vertical, and they're going to be ready. The Cooper, not Cooper's Mill, Heirloom Farms, which is the Sea Farm Road development, they submitted what I expect is going to be their final water and sewer design to Troy Rozier, who's our engineer, today. So we may have at a future council meeting, you know, whenever they do that, we put a contract together with them to provide that water and sewer service ahead of any construction taking place. So that one, I think, is $133. So again, it would be the same thing. We would put them up with water and sewer. And very likely, the same election.
And I think, with all the improvements we're going to do on the western side of the city, that new water project, we may pick up a few extra additional water customers because people are having trouble with wells and well pumps and dealing with that. We're expanding them lines. I mean, I think we'll pick up a lot out there.
Yeah, when Troy Rozier designed it, it's looped in a way that it hasn't been before. There will be water available to folks who haven't.
I've got two wells, and if I had access to city water, I'd take. I'd keep my well to drink. I'd hook on the city.
Any other questions? Anything else I didn't go over that you would have liked to see, or any questions about what you did see? I told you this would be. I told Norm this would be fun and enlightening.
He's been giggling behind me. He's had a ball. Or he's watching TikTok. I don't know.
Hey, he's watching baseball. He wouldn't watch TikTok.
You remember anything? Just remember the
recreation. So it would be nice if the county did start providing more money. And I say that based off of the fact that most of their participants are county residents and not city residents. We're all the Clinton County residents, I guess. Herb never looks at them as whether they're city or county. Yeah. He looks at them as athletes, and you know, he takes care of them accordingly. But there's a lot that goes into that, and if this spring is an indication of what we have for the rest of the year. And for years to come out, we're seeing record levels of participants. Even more. Yeah.
So what is going to bring down those streets?
Yeah.
What's going to bring down that street?
Well, right now, I'm interested to see with this rate. Schedule or this rate change that we have with the sewer authority, we're going to save a lot of money in, let's see if I can find a slide 2 here.
We've been billed on the meters right now, and those meters are way outside the city, so every bit of loss we have between our system and that meter, we've been paying for. This new way, we're not.
Yeah, so I guess there are a couple of things. One, that new rate, which rather than paying around $700,000, we'll drop to about $550,000, which means we now have a buffer on the operating budget that we need. The other thing is we have a $5 million grant pending with the state that is strictly for sewer improvements. Those lines being rehabilitated would cut down on the flow that we're sending. The other thing that I'm very curious to see what comes about is the planning study that OJRSA was awarded, and that planning study the number of recommendations that could come back are almost infinite, up to and I would say including the sewer authority could end up taking over our collection rates. I think Westminster residents would benefit by being in a pool of customers with Seneca and Walhalla. Right now, we have to pay our own operating. We have overhead, Walhalla has overhead, Seneca has overhead, and if you were to put all those into one group where you just have one set of overhead instead of three, but that's just my thoughts on it. I don't know that that's going to be in a recommendation in it, and certainly it will be up to that whole board to decide that that's what they wanted to do. Very likely it would come to you as a council because those agreements that we have for sewer service are intergovernmental agreements between all three cities that have to be ratified by the councils. So I think that's going to help. Terry and his crews are doing a good job of what I'm going to call identifying the problem areas so that we can go out and correct them. There is still a good amount of state and federal money that we can tap into in addition to that SCIP money. That all helps. I don't really know that there's a magic wand to wave that, you know, magically takes us. I use magic twice, I'm not supposed to do that. Anything that magically drops us dramatically in that listing.
But wouldn't it make us more consistent with the same cost every month instead of up and down based on rain?
In what we pay to the sewer authority, yes. In terms of what the customer pays, it's not going to be.
Right. Yeah, it's just what we're paying.
So yeah, Davey, I don't know. That one's kind of a hard one to predict because I think there are more moving pieces on what our future sewer could hold than on anything else we have.
So our sewer right now, you said, the
Yeah, so I don't know why I need to look at a slide to be able to talk about it. But, so if you look at that sewer total right there, so if you look at the 2022 number, that 893, that's how much it cost us to run sewer operations. But we only brought in around 700,000 in new fees. So it should stabilize. So we still need about the same dollar amount to operate the sewer part that we need. But we have more from sewer revenue than we have ever had to be able to do that, which means we're pulling less out of electric and water. Yeah, so the bill, I don't have a strong memory of this, is around $700,000 that we're paying to OJRC now. The new bill, based off the current forecast, would take it down to $550,000. So that gives us that additional $150,000.
That's what I was asking.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't get where you were going from. Yes. Yeah, so that means electric and water get to keep more of what they're generating to go more into those operations.
That's why I was thinking. I was getting to that turn up as a good question. That's the reason the customer's not going to see really a decrease, even though you are saving money.
I think where the decrease is going to be is we're upgrading everything so well, and the guys are getting so much ahead of it that we're not going to have to absorb every little thing that happens anymore. I think that's where we're headed with all of it tied together. I think we're in a really good position, and I think we're moving in the right direction. So with all that together, it all looks good for the future, especially with that kind of electric increase since 2016. Everybody else has. So that says something about what we've been doing. We're getting
there. Well, and I've seen over the last year, we are a lot more strategic than we were the year ahead of that. And we were a lot more strategic that year than we were the previous year. Hall Road is a good example. When before we put those new water lines in at Hall Road, every week, sometimes every day, we had a service call out there. We don't. So now we have staff that can go and do other things. Well, now those calls are Dr. John's Road. Dixon is a drive road street. Yeah, he doesn't want to talk about Dixon. We're all going to talk about Dixon coming up. It's those kind of the staff now, where they used to have to spread across three problem areas, are down to two. And so they can focus there. So Terry and Kevin can spend more of their time being strategic in identifying what needs addressed, contacting Troy Rozier, having Troy begin drawing up the plans to address it. They've done that on the sewer line, that road that goes by Ingalls, where we aren't doing this knee-jerk reaction to hot issue. Now, we're still going to have those. You're always going to have water leaks, and heavy rain events can sometimes cause the sewer flow to elevate. We may have some of those. But being able to go into a strategic mode rather than just a plain old reactionary mode. Same thing with Taylor and his crew. You know, I still give Lee Baker, and I only give Lee as much credit as what Taylor did with Lee, but that's my way of saying I give Taylor more credit than I give Lee. What he did here in finishing the upgrades, getting a lot of the right-of-ways clear, getting a lot of circuits put in, upgrading the lines, now Taylor and his crews can be a whole lot more strategic. They're a lot less reactionary. You know, we had that storm that blew the tree down a couple weekends ago, and we had some outages. But those outages were fewer and lasted longer, or lasted shorter, than it would have if that happened 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, we drove out of town to go to the job, and I didn't even have a tree.
Got up on it.
And you didn't even recognize it.
I didn't.
And of course, I think it was Kevin or Taylor told me, wait till the next storm. Where that last tree fell, you can look at the next four trees that are just waiting to fall. So, anyway, Taylor's ready to go. Call him. He'll go fix it.
I appreciate, as the person that runs the sidewalks, I appreciate your cleanup efforts over there. Thank you very much.
They did a great job. So anyway, all that is to say, I think we're in that strategic level of planning and thinking through where we weren't definitely 2 years ago before the reaction. That stabilization, I think, will benefit more each year that we go down. We're benefiting from it now, but I think a year from now, the benefit is even more in terms of dollars. Any other questions or any other? Once I go to my last slide, I really hate to come back. Okay, because it says we can go home.
No. Oh, right. Meeting canceled.
Does that mean we don't have to come back to sleep?
No, that just means you can go home and come back at 5:55. Same room.
I move with adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Well, dang. Look at that. You're usually Dick Mangrum steals Rebecca's because he's got the same recorder.
Oh, really?
Here you go, Rebecca.